Please turn to the inside of your bulletin for the Shema, and let us turn and face the east.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kivod, Malchuto, Leolam Voed. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is your God, the Lord is one. Blessed be the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. V'yahavta et Adonai Eloheinu, v'chol levavcha, v'chol nafshecha, v'chol meodecha. V'hayu hadvarim ha'elech asher enoichi, v'tzavcha hayom ol levavecha, v'shinantom levanecha, v'dibartom bom, v'shiftecha beveitecha, v'vlechtecha v'derech, Ushach Becha Uv Kumecha. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your might. And these words that I teach you today shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children and speak of them when you sit at home and when you walk along the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. Yeshua said, this is the greatest and most important mitzvah, and a second is similar to it. You are to love your neighbor as yourself. All the Torah and the prophets are dependent on these two mitzvot. Yeshua hu Moshiach, Yeshua hu Adonai. Yeshua, he is Messiah. Yeshua, he is Lord, God Almighty.
And it came to pass, whenever the ark went forward, Moses would say, arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered. May those who hate you flee from before you. For from Zion shall go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord out of Jerusalem.
Blessed be he who gave the Torah to his people Israel in his holiness.
Please join us as we march Torah around the world.
Thank you.
Come, children of God, come and be blessed by Adonai Elohim Tzevaot. Abba, Father, thank you so much for bringing all of your children together today. Thank you for all the blessings that you provide us. And although there are no little children here today, there are children of God that fill this place. Abba, I pray that you bless the men amongst us, those like Ephraim and Manasseh, who stand for what is right, who hold true to the word that you give to us. Bless them with strength. Bless them with courage. Bless them with resolve, that in these times of stress, which are just beginning, that you will give them the strength and the resolve to stand firm and not be swayed by the minions of the adversary. And Abba Father, I pray that you bless the women amongst us. For in their homes, based on the foundation of Adonai Yeshua, they are their houses. They are the ones that the community looks to for strength. They are the ones who quietly, faithfully stand tall and stand strong amidst the hurricane of ungodliness. Abba Father, I pray that you give them the strength to carry on, that you give them the fortitude to be the strong women of faith that you have asked them to be. And Abba, bless those of us who are elderly, whose life experiences you have filled with wisdom. And may we use that wisdom in a way that pleases you to build your kingdom, to help each other on our path, to give us an understanding of what it means to be your children, no matter what our age. Abba, I pray that you bless the love that loving couples have for each other. May that love grow ever deeper and stronger. May that love be filled with your light. And may that love radiate into the community, drawing those who would obtain that light. So for all of this, we thank you and we praise you. Baruch Hashem Yeshua Moshichenu. Amen.
And for all of us that are children today, I sense there's times when we get discouraged, especially when we talk about what's happening around. And we see, even this last week, Shimon, my brother-in-law, said, and I don't know if you know in the news, but there was over 60 Egyptians that were killed by ISIS. And so I want to share with you an encouragement, because we also have to pray for the church. Seems that the church is the ones being attacked the most in the Middle East. And so because I'm speaking of the church, I will mention a name, John Olstein, the father of Joel. John was a beloved pastor and a missionary. And there was one situation, one time where he was out, I believe it was in Africa, but he was attacked by this warring tribe. And these generals, and they came and they surrounded the building where they were worshiping in. And they broke open the doors and they said, anyone here that is a Christian, this is your opportunity to leave right now. And no one left. And they said, I'm telling you, this is the last opportunity before we will do what we have to do. And no one left. At that point, the general came into the sanctuary, the area where they were, with his group of men, and he said, now we finally have some Christians that we can worship with. And that's a true story. Hallelujah. God be with us all in this time, because we do not know who we are blessing or being blessed by. And the Lord will always be with us. Amen.
Baruch et Adonai HaMorach, Baruch Adonai HaMorach Leolam Vaed, Baruch et Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher bacha banu mikol hamim, v'natan lanu et Torato, baruch ata Adonai, noten ha-Torah. Amen. Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One, for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord of God, King of the universe, who has chosen us from among all peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah. Amen. He who blessed our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, may he bless those who come up to honor God and the Torah. May the Holy One bless he, watch over them, protect them from all affliction and hardship, and from all plague and disease, and send blessing and prosperity on all the work of their hands. Amen. The Torah portion today is Balak. You'll find it in Bamidbar, Numbers chapter 22, starting at verse 2. I'll begin in Hebrew and then we'll continue in English. Vayar Balak ben Zippor et kol asher asah Yisrael la'emori. Vayagar Moav mipnei ha'o'am me'od ki ravhu. Vayakots Moav mipnei bnei Yisrael. Vayomer Moav el ziknei Midian, ata yelachachu hakahal et kol svivotenu, ki lechol hashvor et yerech hasadeh, uvayalak ben Zippor, melech lemoav beit hahi. Vayishlach malachim et Bileam ben Beor, petora hasher al hanahar, eretz bnei amo livkvolelo lemor, hine am yatsa mimetz chaim, hine chisa et ein haaretz, v'hu yoshev mimoli. Now Balak the son of Zippor saw all that Israel had done to the Amori. Moab was very afraid of the people because there were so many of them. Moab was overcome with dread because of the people of Israel. So Moab said to the leaders of Midian, "This horde will lick up everything around us the way an ox licks up grass in the field." Balak the son of Zippor was king of Moab at that time. He sent messengers to Bilam, the son of Beor, at Petor, by the Euphrates River in his native land, to tell him, "Listen, a people has come out of Egypt, spread over all the land, and settled down next to me. Therefore, please come and curse this people for me, because they are stronger than I am. Maybe I will be able to strike them down and drive them out of the land. For I know that whomever you bless is in fact blessed, and whomever you curse is in fact cursed." The leaders of Moab and Midian left, taking with them the payment for divining, came to Balaam and spoke to him the words of Balak. He said to them, "Stay here tonight, and I will bring you back whatever answer Adonai tells me." So the princes of Moab stayed with Balaam. God came to Balaam and said, "Who are these men with you?" Balaam said to God, "Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent me this message. The people who came out of Egypt have spread over the land. Now, come and curse them for me. Maybe I will be able to fight against them and drive them out." God answered Balaam, "You are not to go with them. You are not to curse the people, because they are blessed." Balaam got up in the morning and said to the princes of Balak, "Return to your own land, because Adonai refuses to give me permission to go with you." The princes of Moab got up, returned to Balak, and said, "Balaam refuses to come with us." Balak again sent princes, more of them, and of higher status than the first group. They went to Bilam and said to him, "Here is what Balak the son of Zippor says. Please don't let anything keep you from coming to me. I will reward you very well, and whatever you say to me, I will do. So please come and curse this people for me." Bilam answered the servants of Balak, "Even if Balak were to give me his palace filled with silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of Adonai my God to do anything, great or small. Now please, you too stay here tonight, so that I may find out what Adonai else will say to me." God came to Bilam during the night and said to him, "If the men have come to summon you, get up and go with them, but do only what I tell you."
So Balaam got up in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the princes of Moab. But God's anger flared up because he went. And the angel of Adonai stationed himself on the path to bar his way. He was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. The donkey saw the angel of Adonai standing on the road, drawn sword in hand. So the donkey turned off the road into the field. And Balaam had to beat the donkey to get it back on the road. Then the angel of Adonai stood on the road when it became narrow as it passed among the vineyards and had stone walls on both sides. The donkey saw the angel of Adonai and pushed up against the wall, crushing Balaam's foot against the wall. So he beat it again. The angel of Adonai moved ahead and stood in a place too tight that there was no room to turn either right or left. Again, the donkey saw the angel of Adonai and lay down under Balaam, which made him so angry that he hit the donkey with his stick. But Adonai enabled the donkey to speak, and it says to Balaam, "What have I done to you to make you beat me these three times?" Balaam said to the donkey, "It's because you've been making a fool of me. I wish I had a sword in my hand. I would kill you on the spot." The donkey said to Balaam, "I am your donkey, right? You've ridden me all your life, right? Have I ever treated you like this before?" "No," he admitted. Then Adonai opened Balaam's eyes so that he could see the angel of Adonai standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and he bowed his head and fell on his face. The angel of Adonai said to him, "Why did you hit your donkey three times like that? I have come out here to bar your way because you are rushing to oppose me. The donkey saw me and turned aside these three times. And indeed, if she hadn't turned away from me, I would have killed you by now and saved it alive." Balaam said to the angel of Adonai, "I have sinned. I didn't know that you were standing on the road to block me. Now, therefore, if what I am doing displeases you, I will go back." But the angel of Adonai said to Balaam, "No, go on with the men, but you are to say only what I tell you to say." So Balaam went along with the princes of Balak.
When Balak heard that Bilam had come, he went out to meet him in the city of Moab at the Ammon border, in the farthest reaches of the territory. Balak said to Bilam, "I sent more than once to summon you. Why didn't you come to me? Did you think I couldn't pay you enough?" Bilam replied to Balak, "Here I've come to you, but I have no power of my own to say anything. The word that God puts in my mouth is what I will say. Bilaam went with Balak. When they arrived at Kiriat Hutzot, Balak sacrificed cattle and sheep, then sent to Balaam and the princes with him. In the morning, Balak took Bilaam and brought him up to the high places of Baal. From there, he could see a portion of the people. Bilaam said to Balak, "Build me 7 altars here, and prepare me 7 bulls and 7 rams here." Balak did as Bilaam said. Then Balak and Bilaam offered a bull and a ram on each altar. Bilaam said to Balak, "Stand by your burnt offering while I go off. Maybe Adonai will come and meet me, and whatever he shows me, I will tell you." He went off to a bare hill. God met Bilaam, who said to him, "I prepared the 7 altars and offered a bull and a ram on each altar." Then Adonai put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, go on back to Balak and speak as I tell you." He went back to him, and there, standing by his burnt offering, he with all the princes of Moab, he made his pronouncement. "Balak, the king of Moab, brings me from Aram, from the eastern hills, saying, 'Come, curse Yaakov for me. Come and denounce Israel.' How am I to curse those whom God has not cursed? How am I to denounce those whom Adonai has not denounced? From the top of the rocks I see them. From the hills I behold them. Yes, a people that will dwell alone and not think itself one of the nations. Who has counted the dust of Yaakov or numbered the ashes of Israel? May I die as the righteous die. May my end be like theirs." Balak said to Bilaam, "What have you done to me? To curse my enemies is why I brought you here, and you have totally blessed them." He answered, "Mustn't I take care to say just what Adonai puts in my mouth?"
And Balak said to him, "All right, come with me to another place where you can see them. You will see only some of them, not all, but you can curse them for me from there." He took him through the field of Sophim and to the top of Pisgah range, built 7 altars and offered a bull and a ram on each altar. Bilaam said to Balak, "Stand here by your burnt offering while I go over there for a meeting." Adonai met Bilaam, put a word in his mouth and said, "Go on back to Balak and speak as I tell you." He came to him and stood by his burnt offering with all the princes of Moab. Balak asked him, "What did Adonai say?" Then Bilaam made his pronouncement. "Get up, Balak, and listen. Turn your ears to me, son of Zippor. God is not a human who lies or a mortal who changes his mind. Amen. When he says something, he will do it. When he makes a promise, he will fulfill it. Look, I am ordered to bless. When he blesses, I can't reverse it. No one has seen guilt in Yaakov or perceived perversity in Israel. Adonai, their God, is with them and acclaimed as king among them. God who brought them out of Egypt gives them the strength of a wild ox. Thus one can't put a spell on Yaakov. No magic will work against Israel. It can now be said of Yaakov and Israel, what is the name of God, what is this that God has done? Here is a people rising up like a lioness. Like a lion, he rears himself up. He will not lie down till he eats up the prey and drinks the blood of the slain." Balak said to Bilaam, "Obviously you won't curse them, but at least don't bless them." However, Bilaam answered Balak, "Didn't I warn you that I must do everything that Adonai says?"
Balak said to Bilaam, "Come, I will take you now to another place. Maybe it will please God for you to curse them for me from there." Balak took Bilaam to the top of Peor, overlooking the desert. Bilaam said to Balak, "Build me 7 altars here, and prepare me 7 bulls and 7 rams." Balak did as Bilaam said, and offered a bull and a ram on each altar. When Bilaam saw that it pleased Adonai to bless Israel, he didn't go,
as at the other times, to make use of divination, but looked out toward the desert. Balaam raised his eyes and saw Israel encamped tribe by tribe. Then the Spirit of God came upon him, and he made his pronouncement. This is the speech of Balaam, son of Beor, the speech of the man whose eyes have been opened, the speech of him who hears God's words, who sees what Shaddai sees, who has fallen, yet has open eyes. How lovely are your tents, Yaakov, your encampments, Israel. They spread out like valleys, like gardens by the riverside, like succulent aloes planted by Adonai, like cedar trees next to the water. Water will flow from their branches. Their seed will have water aplenty. Their king will be higher than Agag, and his kingdom lifted high. God, who brought them out of Egypt, gives them the strength of a wild ox. They will devour the nations opposing them, break their bones, pierce them with their arrows. When they lie down, they crouch like a lion, or like a lioness. Who dares to rouse it? Blessed be all those who bless you. Cursed be all who curse you.
Balak blazed with fury against Balaam. He struck his hands together and said to Balaam, I summon you to curse my enemies. But here you have done nothing but bless them three times already. Now you had better escape to your own place. I had planned to reward you very well, but now Adonai has deprived you of payment. Balaam answered Balak, didn't I tell the messengers you sent me that even if Balak would give this palace full of silver and gold, I could not, on my own accord, go beyond the word of Adonai to do either good or bad. That what Adonai said is what I would say. But now, that I am going back to my own people, come, I will warn you that this people will do to your people in the Acharit Hayamim. So he made his pronouncement. This is the speech of Balaam, son of Beor, the speech of the man whose eyes have been opened, the speech of him who hears God's words, who knows what Elyon knows, who sees what Shaddai sees, who has fallen yet has opened eyes. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not soon. A star will step forth from Yaakov. A scepter will arise from Israel to crush the corners of Moab and destroy all descendants of Shet. His enemies will be his possessions. Edom and Seir possessions, Israel will do valiantly. From Yaakov will come someone who will rule, and he will destroy what is left in the city. He saw Amalek and made his pronouncement. First among nations was Amalek, but destruction will be its end. He saw that Kiani had made this pronouncement. Though your dwelling is firm, your nest set on rock, Cain will be wasted while captive to Ashur. Finally, he made this pronouncement. Oh no, who can live when God does this? But ships will come from the coast of Kittim to subdue Ashur and subdue Ever, but they too will come to destruction. Then Balaam got up, left, and returned to his home, and Balak too went his way.
Israel stayed at Shittim, and there the people began whoring with the women of Moab. These women invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods, where the people ate and bowed down to their gods. With Israel thus joined to Baal Peor, the anger of Jehovah blazed up against Israel. Jehovah said to Moshe, take all the chiefs of the people and hang them facing the sun before Jehovah, so that the raging fury of Jehovah will turn away from Israel. Moses said to the judges of Israel, each of you is to put to death those in his tribe who have joined themselves to Baal Peor. Just then, in the sight of Moshe and the whole community of Israel, as they were weeping at the entrance to the tent of meeting, a man from Israel came by, bringing to his family a woman from Midian, when Pinchas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the Kohen, saw it, he got up from the middle of the crowd, took a spear in his hand, and pursued the man from Israel's right into the inner part of the tent. When he thrust his spear through both of them, the man from Israel and the woman through her stomach. Thus was the plague among the people of Israel stopped. Nevertheless, 24,000 died in the plague.
Blessed are you, O Lord of God, King of the universe, who selected good prophets and was pleased with their words, which were spoken truthfully. Blessed are you, O Lord, who chooses the Torah, your servant Moses, your people Israel, and prophets of truth and righteousness.
But you, Beit Lechem, near Ephrat, so small among the clans of Yehuda, out of you will come forth to me the future ruler of Israel, whose origins are far in the past, back in ancient times. Then the remnant of Yaakov, surrounded by many peoples, will be like dew from Adonai, like showers on the grass, which doesn't wait for a man or expect anything from mortals. The remnant of Yaakov among the nations, surrounded by many peoples, will be like a lion among forest animals, like a young lion among flocks of sheep. If it passes through, tramples and tears to pieces, there is no one to rescue them. Your hand will be raised over your enemies. All your adversaries will be destroyed. When that day comes, says Adonai, I will cut off your horses from among you and destroy your chariots. I will cut off the cities of your land and lay waste your strongholds. I will cut off sorceries from your land. You will no longer have soothsayers. I will cut off your carved images and standing stones from among you. No longer will you worship what your own hands have made. I will put your sacred poles from among you and destroy your enemies. I will wreak vengeance and fury, in anger and fury on the nations because they would not listen.
So listen now to what Adonai says. Stand up and state your case to the mountains. Let the hills hear what you have to say. Listen, mountains, to Adonai's case, also you enduring rocks that support the earth. Adonai has a case against his people. He wants to argue it out with Israel. My people, what have I done to you? How have I wearied you? Answer me. I brought you up from the land of Egypt. I redeemed you from a life of slavery. I sent Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam to lead you. My people, just remember what Balak, the king of Moab, has planned, what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him, and what happened between Shittim and Gilgal, so that you will understand the saving deeds of Adonai. With what can I come before Adonai? To bow down before God on high, should I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves in their first year? Would Adonai take delight in thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Could I give my firstborn to pay for my crimes, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Human being, you have already been told what is good, what Adonai demands of you, no more than to act justly, love grace, and walk in purity with your God.
Blessed are you, Lord of God, King of the universe, who has given us Messiah Yeshua and the teachings of the new covenant. Blessed are you, Lord, giver of the apostolic scriptures. Amen.
For brothers, I want you to understand this truth, which God formerly concealed, but now has been revealed, so that you won't imagine you know more than you actually do. It is stoniness to a degree has come upon Israel until a Gentile world enters in its fullness, and that it is in this way that all Israel will be saved. As the Tanakh says, out of Zion will come the Redeemer. He will turn away ungodliness from Yaakov, and this will be my covenant with them when I take away their sins. With respect to the good news, they are hated for your sake. But with respect to being chosen, they are loved for the patriarch's sake, for God's free gift and his calling are irrevocable. Just as you yourselves were disobedient to God before, but have received mercy now because of Israel's disobedience, so also Israel has been disobedient now, so that by your showing them the same mercy that God has shown you, they too may now receive God's mercy. For God has shut up all mankind together in disobedience in order that he might show mercy to all. Oh, the depths of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God! How inscrutable are his judgments, how unsearchable his ways. For who has known the mind of Adonai? Who has been his counselor? Or who has given him anything and made him pay it back? From him and through him and to him are all things. To him the glory forever. Amen.
1 Corinthians 1, verses 20 to 30. Where does that leave the philosopher, the Torah teacher, or any of today's thinkers? Hasn't God made this world's wisdom look pretty foolish? For God's wisdom ordained that the world, using its own wisdom, would not come to know him. Therefore, God decided to use the nonsense of what we proclaim as his means of saving those who come to trust in it. Precisely because Jews ask for signs and Greeks try to find wisdom, we go on proclaiming a Messiah executed on a stake as a criminal. To Jews, this is an obstacle, and to Greeks, it is nonsense. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, this same Messiah is God's power and God's wisdom. For God's nonsense is wiser than humanity's wisdom. And God's weakness is stronger than humanity's strength. Just look at yourselves, brother. Look at those whom God has called. Not many of you are wise by the world's standards. Not many wield power or boast noble birth. But God chose what the world considers nonsense in order to shame the wise. God chose what the world considers weak in order to shame the strong. And God chose what the world looks down on as common or regards as nothing in order to bring to nothing what the world considers important, so that no one should boast before God. It is his doing that we are united with Messiah Yeshua. He has become wisdom for us from God, and righteousness and holiness and redemption as well.
This is the Torah which Moses placed before the children of Israel. It is in accord with Adonai's command by the hand of Moses. A tree of life it is to those who take hold of it, and blessed are the ones who support it. Its ways are ways of pleasantness, and all its paths of peace. Long life is in its right hand, and in its left are riches and honor. Adonai was pleased for the sake of his righteousness to render the Torah great and glorious. When the ark rested, Moses would say, "Return, O Adonai, to the myriads of Israel's families. Arise, O Adonai, to your resting place, you and your mighty ark. Clothe your priests with righteousness. May those who have experienced your faithful love shout for joy. For the sake of your servant David, don't delay the return of your Messiah. I give you good instruction. Do not forsake my Torah." Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech ha'olam, asher nachamanu hadavar hachai ha-Mashiach Yeshua. Amen. Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, ruler of the universe, who gives us the living word in the Messiah Yeshua. Amen.
You may be seated.